In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. At our diocesan assembly this week, there were a lot of meetings and talks. There were reports concerning missions and finances. There were reports on church policies and practices and the challenges of our times which impact church life. There were educational talks and sermons at each service, even at Matins and Vespers. And all of them required listening, attentive listening, which is a physically passive mode, whether sitting or standing as you are now, but which requires our focus and concentration, our attention. And you can listen real well if you rest your chin on your chest and close your eyes, I found. As long as your head doesn't bob up suddenly, you know, you have to watch the bobbing. If you keep your focus there. And it is a challenge when you're tired, which as you go to these conferences, even though you're not doing a whole lot, but going from thing to thing, still it's tiring. But in any event, listening. Let us attend, we say several times in our liturgical services, especially before the reading of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And there was even a talk this week on the need to listen, on listening in the counseling of others, that priests are often too anxious to interpret and respond, to give answers in pastoral counseling rather than listening attentively. Because sometimes in listening, the speaker and the listener discover something together. And sometimes there are no easy answers to life's problems, and it's wise not to try and find those easy, convenient, packaged answers or resort to cliches for the sake of giving some advice. So listening and counseling is a mutual journey. The scripture says it's good to receive counsel. The book of Proverbs, at the very beginning of the first chapter, lays out for us the value of counsel and the wisdom of receiving counsel. It begins, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." We also read later on in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise." The ear that hears the correction of life, that life itself teaches us, life itself counsels us. And we need to hear those lessons too. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. And finally, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that hears reproof gets understanding. It's probably stretching the point, but in the gospel, after Christ heals the two blind men, he tells them not to tell anyone about it. But they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So they didn't listen. They didn't listen to instruction, but certainly It's excusable from our vantage point, they having received such a wonderful miracle of sight, which they couldn't easily conceal, obviously, from family and the people that had known them. So they announced with joy what Jesus had done for them. They wanted people to know about the greatness of Jesus. The question is, why in this case and in several other cases when Jesus performs a miracle, he tells them to keep quiet about it? But in other cases, he even tells them to go and proclaim the great things God has done for them. As they explained it in seminary, Christ told the Jews he healed to keep quiet for the most part, but the Gentiles he told to go and tell others. The thought is that he wanted to delay the day of reckoning with the Jewish authorities by not publishing his miracles. His early miracles, where he heals the bent over woman, the man with the withered hand, they were not well received. They didn't go over real well. And of course, in this incident where Christ also heals someone possessed, when the Pharisees heard it, and they blasphemed, saying, "He casts out devils through the prince of the devils," which is the worst thing they could have said. They certainly weren't listening. They certainly weren't listening to what God was saying to them through these miracles of Christ. But he wanted his work to be low-key among the Jews, but openly proclaimed among the Gentiles, which is the revolutionary aspect of the Christian faith, that the Jewish Messiah would be largely rejected by his own people, but would open the word and revelation of God to the nations. To the nations. And there were exceptions. There's one where he heals the blind man at the pool of Siloam, tells him to go show himself to the priest, but that was pretty close to the time of his confrontation with the Pharisees. But in any event, our Lord Jesus Christ faced a lot of closed-mindedness. Closed-mindedness. It must not be so with us, brothers and sisters. It must not be so with us who claim to be his disciples. We are called to listen. To listen first and foremost to our Lord. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." There are many voices in our heads. We have to listen especially to what's going on there, and to discern the voice of truth. Finally, because I haven't prepared much this week, I will tell you a story in conclusion, a story from Elder Paisius, which also only loosely ties into everything said thus far. But a young man came to the elder, and of course a lot of people came with very serious problems to the elder, serious health problems, financial problems, crisis in their lives. And the elder said, "What, my son, what's wrong? What's troubling you?" He said, "Elder, my head's too big." The elder said, "What?" He said, my head is too big." "Your head's too big?" "Yes, it's big. People see it. My head. That is too big." He says, "My son, your head's not that big." He says, "No, it's too big." So the elder says, "Well, let's figure this out." He says, He got a piece of string. So he wrapped it around the young man's head. And he said, let's measure my head." The elder says, so he measures his head, and the elder says, "See, your head's not much different than my head." The young man says, "No, my head's too big." He says, "Get out of here. Go away." In other words, there's people that have real issues, you know, and if you're not going to listen, so there's the moral of the story. If your head's too big, if your head's too big and you're not going to listen, not even a holy elder, not even the councils of one of the greatest human beings on the earth at that time, and his counsels, his holy counsels, not even that will help you, not even God himself will be able to enable you to hear. So let us listen, let us be attentive, let us attend. God is speaking to us in many voices, but so is the other side speaking to us, and we have to have discernment and pray for that gift of discernment to hear the truth in love and to follow instruction and to trust that if we want to be led, if we want the will of God, if we want the truth of God in our life, that the Lord will give us the instructors and the instruction that we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.